Hi guys, I'm Autumn Rain and back for another episode of Beyond the Record. Today I have John Hope. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Of course, absolutely. So John Hope, he is a lot of things. If you don't know about him, he's a lot of things. He is a father, he is a rapper, he is helping his community in each way, in every way that he can. And we're just gonna just dive right into who is John Hope.
Yeah.
So, how did your foundation and love for music begin?
It came from my time. I was in foster care for a little bit. I was in foster care and I had a lot of just uncertainty and instability. I was going from different houses trying to find a residence, and I would creatively write. I wouldn't necessarily say I was like writing raps, but I was just writing. And that was kind of like the genesis. And then, listening to music, artists that I grew up with that were sort of that were sharing the same stories that I was going through. Like, it just gave me like this validation, because I felt so isolated, because I was, again, just kind of transitioning in different homes. And so that was kind of like the spark, like hearing other artists talk about things that I was going through, and then it gave me the confidence to want to contribute. And so I started rapping like some of my favorite artists growing up. Like, I started rapping like Criss Cross, and I would insert my name, and Snoop, and Wu-Tang. And so it was like just that connection and that feeling of being seen, and feeling seen and feeling heard. And I just never looked back. I just never looked back. It started out, I was rapping in my neighborhood. And I was really, I think also too, that I'd like to share is that I was very much a part of the culture. Like, so it wasn't even just rapping. I had like a stint in break dancing. I was, graffiti, spray painting in the laundry room, like, you know what I mean? So I was really like all in, all encompassing, and it was dope. Yeah.
No, that's so cool. I didn't know anything about like breakdancing and graffiti. Like I said, you're a man of many talents, so it's not surprising that you started off like doing a multitude of different things. So that's
Yeah,
super
thank you.
cool. One of the things I want to talk to you about is Hope Scholars, because I know that is like a very huge like part of what you do.
Yeah.
And I come from a family like both of my parents are teachers, so
Word.
yeah, they are. So I'm used to like having that type of like just like homes like not I wasn't homeschooled, but like teaching in the home and everything like that. Like they
Yeah.
brought all that
Yeah.
stuff home to us and everything. So
Yeah.
can you just tell me a little bit about Hope Scholars?
Yeah, Hope Scholars Initiative started in about 2018, 2019. Yeah, 2019. It's a youth empowerment organization that focuses on social emotional, using hip hop sensibilities, so songs, lyrics, interviews, but just like the cultural cachet of hip hop, bringing that into the classroom or the learning space. After 2020, it said that 50% of youth population, like students, are, non-white, and they, so what does that mean? They're coming in with their own cultural identities. That means that schools have to, like, it's imperative to find culturally relevant programming, culturally relevant ways to engage with their students. Or else they'll be behind the eight ball. And one of, if not the biggest cultural artifact of youth culture is hip hop. Every, that's how they speak, how they talk. And so I, even at my age and where I'm at in my life, I felt like in the workspace, I was doing too much code switching. I wasn't being my most authentic self. And this is someone who I have the money, I have the degrees, I have the fortitude, and I still wasn't feeling like myself, right? And so I wanted to create a space where young people can be authentic, because that is like the first, that's foundational to be connected or engaged, right? If I can be in this space and be my authentic self, you can show up with your awesome, hairstyle and be, who you are, and not have to explain anything or what have you. That's more than half the battle towards, your scholarship. And so that's really what it was. And so, there's three components. There's an artist mentorship component where there's young people who want to rap or just want to be in the creative space, and I would meet with them in a hybrid format. Then there's professional development. So I go into school districts and train teachers and educators and adults who are interested in hip hop education, but they don't know how, they don't know where to start. And then thirdly is probably the most, I guess the most frequent part of the organization is just community engagement. Going into, schools, guest lectures, schools will come and have me as a guest speaker to talk about either, how hip hop is impactful from an educational standpoint. And yeah, I love it because it's an extension of me. It's I've literally seen how it impacts lives and really gets people from maybe timid or low self-esteem to full-on, self-actualization. And it's through an authentic hip-hop kind of, I'm not we're not judging people. We're not, we're inviting that individuality.
I love that. I
Yeah.
think it's really hard, too, as sometimes a Black person in these spaces, especially
Oh,
professional spaces, and you feel like when you said code switch, I was like, I
Listen,
feel it. You can't
come
be
on.
yourself. And that
It's
really
tough.
sucks. For like 8 to 10 hours a day, you have to just put this face on, and it's just not you. It's not
Right.
real. And it's
Right.
unfortunate that you do have to feel that way. And too, because like we met at work too, you would,
Right.
yeah. And it was just, I feel like we instantly connected too, because there,
I
wasn't
was so
a lot of
happy to see you.
I was about to see
Like for real, for real.
you. No,
Yeah.
seriously, we gave each other the look. We're just like,
Yeah.
yeah, I loved it.
Yeah.
We instantly connected because, being in the spaces that we were in is just like, it was very rare. And obviously, too, it's just like we weren't trying to downplay who we were. And not the people
Right.
at work were trying to do that to us either,
Right.
but it's just like we just made, I feel like we made a comfortable space. I love seeing your name on the
Yeah.
sheet for the day. I was like, yes, John's coming in.
Yes.
It's a safety,
Absolutely. Absolutely. I felt the same exact way. I was like, word. And I think for many black and brown or just marginalized people, when they see someone, it's a unspoken, man, safety is so appropriate. Like that is a that is the right word, because it's like, oh, okay. And I think you made such a good point. A lot of times, the spaces, they're not, it doesn't even have to be intentional that they're downplaying, but it's just that there's not enough representation, and not, you don't even know if it's safe to be yourself, because there's so much riding, right? Your livelihood, your job, right? Your like there's so much, so you don't even want to mess that up. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's a really, really key point. Like I think it's not a situation where, because some of the people that we have in common are some of the like great people.
They're amazing.
Yeah,
Absolutely.
but yeah, it was just that, when I saw you, I'm like, what's up? Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And we've been locked in ever since, man. So, yeah.
It's a really good feeling. And I hope that everyone has that type of feeling at work because I think it's very rare sometimes, especially
is.
in a lot of spaces. So, like having something like Hope Scholars, like having those kids, be aware and just like
Yeah.
giving them a space to be themselves, a comfortable space, people that look like them and doing things that they like to do too,
Right. Right. Absolutely. It's really about, like I said, youth empowerment. And that empowerment, like, just if I can show up in a space fully myself 100%, I'm already ahead of the curve, right? Like, I'm ready. Now it's my intelligence. Now it's my, fortitude. So I mean, that's really what it's about, man.
Yeah, exactly. I love that.
Thanks.
I want to go into, your a little bit about your basketball career because you were just honored at your school, Providence College. So how was receiving that honor? How was it?
Well, you know what? J I was actually honored for being a host for
Oh,
being.
nice.
I was actually honored because I had done it for 16 years, 16 seasons. Through
Wow.
three different basketball coaches. So it was good to be honored for my contributions, as
Yeah.
someone who helped develop the culture from, just dormant to, now one of the most liveliest places to play in college basketball. But I did also play college basketball. I mean, I think when it comes to work ethic and when it comes to my value system, it comes from playing basketball. It comes from the training that I did, just to be better, And so some of those principles, that ethos, I take with me when it comes to being an independent artist, developing two businesses, Hope Scholars Initiative and Zane Butler Media Group. There's a tenacity, there's a focus, a level of focus that is a direct derivative from playing basketball. I was waking up before school, getting my shots up, training, and I think it's just helped me. I mean, I think when you go onto my stories, you're going to see me working out. You know what I'm saying? You're going to see me training, and as if I'm getting ready for the season. And I think it's helped because, one from a, aesthetic standpoint, I'm camera ready. You know what I mean? Right? Like some of my counterparts, unfortunately, the smoking, the drinking, and the that all that stuff. You know what I'm saying? It gets excessive, and they're not taking care of themselves. So there's, the discipline that comes with being an athlete and playing ball. I transferred it to being an artist.
Yeah, no, definitely. I only did sports in high school, but I
Okay.
did lacrosse and field hockey.
Okay.
And it was really fun. I think I still have that discipline. My dad's a track coach, so I
It
did
is.
track before that. And like all those sports, they make you into such a disciplined person, like going into the like professional world, going into college, like staying away from like drugs and alcohol and stuff like that. Because it at the end of the day, yeah, like cool, like some wine or whatever, like it's fun and like have a good time for sure. But you still want to hit those goals. You still want to be in the gym, working on yourself, working on your body, all that stuff. It's like so important too. And you like learn that from sports and you get transfers
Absolutely.
to different places in your life later on when you're done playing.
Agreed.
So I know that, like, well, you're from Rhode Island, right?
Yeah, born and raised in Providence,
And I had such a great time, living there. I went to school there for a little bit and then, I started working there and that's how we met. So, Providence is the creative capital, but I feel like a lot of people, it's underrated on the amount of creativity that's in Providence. I've met so many like journalists, photographers, musicians in Rhode Island while I was living there. So do you want to speak a little bit on the creative community that's in Rhode Island?
Man, rich, 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 rich creative community. And I think that has been such a blessing from a creative standpoint. The diversity. It's also a college town, like you said. You have Johnson and Wales. You got RISD, right? You got Brown. You got PC. You got Rick. So you have this like melting pot of just not only diverse people, but really diverse thought. You know what I mean? Like
That's
people are
true.
coming in and like, I'm seeing like murals throughout the city, that are done by like students and kids like from the city or tramps or transplants. And I think there's just something about Providence that just allows you to be yourself. You feel comfortable, being creatively original, and it's celebrated. It's celebrated. We are the creative capital. And I think in recent years, we've embraced that. Like it's like there's like a growing like embrace that we wear that now. Like, you know what I mean?
As you should.
When I first started out, I felt like there was just this understanding or false understanding that you had to go to New York, you had to go to LA. We were kind of like the stepchild of Boston, you know what I mean? And now, fast forward, yeah, we have Day Trail, we got Yellow Cup Weekend, like these are like it's not just local. These are like destination parties and destination spots. Like, when you think about Day Trail, when you think about Yellow Cup Weekend, PVD Fest and things of that nature, right? Like these are things that all stem from being a creative. Like th this isn't like Coachella PVD. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like w this is our own thing. Like we're not trying to be New York. We're not trying to be Boston. And dare I say, we almost, it is underrated, but that I think that's part of the strength, right? Like we're kind of like, yo, y'all need to get on this. Like, if you ain't on it, like, you know what I mean? It's almost like we don't want to be mainstream or like, you know what I mean? It's almost like when you tell people about Providence or your experience, I'm sure there's like an intrigue. Like, we're the smallest state in the country. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like, whereas if you tell somebody, yeah, I'm New York, LA, Atlanta, all dope cities, but people can, because there's so many references, people can kind of almost surmise their own, like what it's like. But when you say, yo, PVD, first you're like, what does that even mean? Like, what's that? Like, you know what I mean? And we embrace that. We embrace that. Now that there's culture, like you see us, we'll rock PVD, we'll rock our own clothing, we'll wear our own thing, and it impacts the world. Like there are designers, there are photographers, there are creative directors that are impacting like industry that come from my city, man. And it's a beautiful thing.
I owe so much to Providence. I
Come
wouldn't
on.
be near where I am in my career now if it wasn't for Providence. I think, well, like, as you know, I'm from New Jersey, and there's a bunch of people from New Jersey here, but I think just being able to experience Providence in, like, my early adulthood, I learned so much, and I'm just so grateful for that city. I love Providence. I love the people there. Like, you
Yeah,
guys
we
are
love them
great.
too.
I loved it. Thank you. I love Providence. So we're gonna go back into a little bit about your music. So I know that you worked with Bongo By The Way back in the day, and you guys, I saw your post, and like you guys dubbed yourself the original duo. So how was it working with him? And as you guys are both successful in your music careers now, like, how is it nice seeing you guys rise?
My gosh, man. Man, Bongo, man. That's my brother right there. It's amazing to watch him because he's been like he's so talented. It's actually like the world hasn't even really fully seen, like, he's got records with Coco Jones, Kanye West. He was on the Diddy album, He Chloe Bailey's new record, he just did, right? J-Rock, The Game, John Hope, you know what I'm saying? And I think what I'm so proud of is that he's been able to show his diversity in his music, you know, and his talent. I just gave you a range of different artists that he's worked with, and all of them are authentically him. Like, you know, he's somebody that is a Jay Dilla. As much as he's commercially successful, he's a Jay Dilla fan. He comes from that underground boom bap, you know, and that was kind of our connection. When I met him, he was like 13, 14 years old. He was a baby making beats that would rival right now. You know, he was always driven. One of those individuals, again, who when he comes into a room, you know, you feel his presence, you know. And we started out, we were in a group. He was my hype man, you know. Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah, we used to be, yo, we had to sneak him in the club because he was so young. So I would do like club dates, and he was like my guy, man. And then he moved to Florida, and I think he developed that sort of just that sensibility of what a commercial hit entails. You know, he went out there, you know, down there is T-Pain. It's just that bounce, that southern swag, and that really developed him. And then I moved to Atlanta. He came to Atlanta, and then he moved to LA. And you know, he's been killing it ever since, you know, working with Ty Dolla $ign, and just he's just such an immense talent, and I'm super proud of him. And the fact that we still creatively, you know, I'm doing my thing. But he's been on every project, you know, Camp Street and Comstock, Bluest Moon Part Two. You know, he's just, you know, he we just have that synergy, you know, till this day. Like he knows, like, this is what Hope wants, or this is what 2025 John Hope sounds like. And he's always on point. Like, you know what I mean? It's just a joy to work with him, and I'm super grateful for not only our creative relationship, but our friendship, you know.
That's nice. It's nice when you can just get someone who, like, gets you creatively. There's just no better feeling than that. Like, you guys see eye to eye, you guys send each other something like, oh man, is this good? Like,
Yeah.
you already, like, it's such a great feeling.
It
It's
really
such a
is. It
great
really is.
feeling.
One of the things that I really, he called me from the Grammys last year. And that was
Really?
the best feeling. Yeah. He was like, yo, bro, I'm here at the Grammys with my brother, da da da. And, you know, it felt so surreal because, like, I felt like I was there. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, to know that, you know, we started out in the basement to watch him, you know, ascend and still, you know, be connected is a great thing, man. Yeah.
No, that's beautiful. Like, seeing someone else too, just like rise as you're rising, and just great. I love it. I love it. Let's get into your music though. So you released High Hopes last month. So what was your inspiration behind creating the project?
This was the first album in my catalog where I wasn't in survival mode, and I wanted to share me thriving, but do it in a space in a way that wasn't, you know, talking down to, because for the most part, rappers and hip hop, you know, the hallmark is struggle, right? Like that's the whole thing. And so I'm not struggling anymore. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking to you from my home studio, right? Like, you know, home, you know, I'm no longer in the projects, like, you know, and so I wanted to just kind of like talk about operating on that high frequency. And it's definitely my best work to date, you know, coming off the heels of Hope All as well. And it's a joy, man. Just everything from the rollout, the way we released it, the way it was received. I'm just super proud of this project.
Yeah, I was telling you off camera. I was like, I have so many favorites on this
Yeah.
album. We're gonna get into that next.
For
So,
sure.
do you have a favorite song? I know when I asked you before, you were like, oh, yeah, you did the same thing.
Yeah.
You were just like, oh, I don't know. So, maybe you do like top three, or maybe the most fun you had in recording them, you know?
Yeah. You know what? I'll say this. I'll say the song that resonates with me the most
Okay. I'll take
is
it.
Never Died. Never Died, man. Never Died. And a close second is HND.
Okay.
Because HND, I think when you think about my music, it's always like, it encourages you to think and it's kind of deep and lyrical. This was a record that was none of that. It was free spirited. It's the summertime. It's a vibe. And I'm glad that I was able to kind of like do that record. Like get, you know, I have one in my catalog, like that type of record where it's just a vibe, you know what I'm saying? But Never Died is probably like, because it speaks to just my evolution and my growth, you know what I mean? Like being the highest version of myself.
Yeah, I love that. I think one of my favorites was definitely like the intro track, 'cause I'm just like a
Ooh.
really big fan of like hearing a rapper with just like a very like simple kind of production. So I
Yeah,
feel like I was able to like really just like hear what you're saying and just like pay more attention to the lyrics. So the intro
Wow.
track for sure for
Okay.
me. And I have like notes over here. I also
Yeah, come
have
on.
Third Shift was like my other
Oh,
favorite.
yeah.
And yeah, I really love that one. And
Why
then
do you like
just
that? Why do you like that? I'm curious. Tell me about it. Like, what about Third Shift like connected with you?
I really don't even, I can't even like explain. I think it was
Okay.
more so the production of that one
Yeah.
too, I liked a lot. And
Yeah.
then on like I have my third, well, it's like kind of like those two were tied for me, like Third
Yup.
Shift and then Just the Peace, because like, it was like very like playful kind of.
Yes.
So I don't know, those are my favorites.
You know what? I got it. Just a
Just
piece is my favorite.
the Peace.
Just a
Yeah.
piece, man. Because the story behind it. I would say it sounds like from what I like it's Hope. It's my daughter's favorite.
Oh,
She's always like,
really?
just a piece, just a
Yeah.
piece, just a piece, you
Yes.
know, a piece.
Yes.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, just a piece is my favorite, man. I'm so proud of that record.
I love that. I felt like I immediately like put that to like my car playlist when I was listening to it, so I can bump it in the car. So I feel like once you hear an album, like I was listening through my headphones, but like once you hear an album like in your car, it's just like so much different. You know what I'm
It hit
saying?
different. It hit
Yeah.
different. It hit
Yeah,
different for
it hits
sure.
different. So I know a lot of like a recurring theme for you, like in your album was like you mentioning fatherhood. I know how proud you are of your daughter. So how special is it to, you know, share your love for music with her? And she's so cute on the cover, by the way.
Thank you.
Warm my
Thank you.
heart.
Yeah.
Heart.
Man, it was completely intentional. I really wanted to share that part, that piece about, being a dad, being a rapper dad too, right? I wanted to, there's so much talk, and you're in the industry, there's so much talk right now about, aging in hip hop and like, artists retiring and maybe some artists feeling like they don't have anything to share past a certain age. And I think it's, one, it's because hip hop is still so young, right? We've yet to see 50, 60-year-old artists and stuff like that. So there might be a subconscious fear of like, well, I don't know what that looks like, you know what I mean? And so forth. For me, I embrace it. And I wanted to really like lean into all of me, you know what I mean? And my bond with my daughter is real. Like it is not, for clicks. It is not like it's really real. And we love each other, and our the I wanted to create something that was a legacy piece, that she can not only identify with now, because she was very much part of the creative process, but when she gets older, understand what her dad was thinking at the time, understand what her father feels about her and professes about her. So it was all intentional because, I'm not gonna be here forever. This is the digital footprint, that she can follow and she can connect to. And so, yeah.
I'm like, I'm really happy you said that because as I was listening to it, and like, I swear, like, I was listening to it like as a daughter, and I was like, this is such a beautiful piece that she's really going to appreciate when she's older, you
Oh,
know? Like,
1,000%.
yeah, like I was like, wow. Like, I was like, my dad needs to get in the studio. I'm not crazy, but I need something like this. Like, it was so nice hearing it all back. And it's just like, I was thinking about it from a daughter's perspective. And I'm so happy you said that.
Thank you. That's gratifying. I appreciate that. I received that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you got into like kind of my other conversation I wanted to have with you too, because, you know, like, Killer Mike, swept the Grammys this year. You know, Victoria Monet, she got breakout artist, and I think believe she's like 34. So these are just like all like older artists too that have been in this for so long, finally receiving their flowers. So do you think that the powers that be are finally, recognizing and making room for artists, or do you think it's something that, like you said, like we haven't seen, like, there's never going to be a 60-year-old Tupac, or a 60-year-old Biggie, you know what I'm saying? So, do you think that there is a place for artists that aren't just, winning in their early 20s?
Yeah, I think there's I think those wins, and I also want to toss in Money Long too.
Yeah.
Money Long's been doing it for a long time,
Yeah, she
and she
has.
she's a older artist, you know what I'm saying? And she's killing it. We like this is a cultural moment for her. Like the like
Yeah.
Hours and Hours, Made for
For
Me. I mean,
you.
they're penetrating culture in a way that's like it's crazy, right?
Yeah.
So what I think what it does though, Autumn, is it moves the needle from intrigue and curiosity to more comfortability. In terms of, oh, okay, I feel more comfortable now either being an older artist or listening to an older artist or awarding an older artist. You know what I mean? I think it, there's more, it's there's more comfort, there's more comfort. I think the next step is getting to a place where we can normalize it. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? Because these individuals, they are not outliers, right? They are not exceptions. Like these are individuals who are doing their thing, and there's many more. I'm living proof. There's many more artists, and what I would like to see is, I would like to see independent artists who maybe not who might not have the limelight like some of the artists that we mentioned.
Yeah.
I want them to feel comfortable to create as well, because what it does, if you stop for the sole reason of, oh, I'm 30 or 35 or 40, then you're robbing yourself and you're robbing the culture of the opportunity to grow. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think, no other genre deals with that, right? Country, country, rock, R&B, you can rock on until, whenever, well into your 40s and 50s, and Charlie Wilson, Uncle Charlie is out here, on records, right? Like on he's on
Yeah.
Nas's record, Kanye's, right? So we should be able to have that autonomy as hip hop artists. And I think those artists are just, great examples that it is doable,
Yeah.
and it provides a comfort in saying, okay, like this is good. This is plausible.
Yeah, and it's like they're also like getting their awards for that too, because I feel like you are robbing yourself. I think all the time of like it's not in music, but with directing, like Ava DuVernay. She didn't pick up a camera until she was like in her early 30s, you know?
Come
Like
on.
she could have never done it. And then now she's done so many different films, and we would have been robbed of a Black woman in the director bag, you know? Like she
On.
made so many spaces for Black women too behind the scenes. So I just
Yes.
think it's so beautiful that I don't even know understand like why we would even want to put an age limit on creativity. Like,
Neither.
I remember one of my friends, she was asking me like, should I like what should be like the age range of this certain project she was doing? And I was like, there should never be an age range because at the end of the day, like my mom is one of my best friends, and I learned so much from her every single day. And not just because she's my mom, but I just think having like older women in my life, just like teaching me and like guiding me and, you know, being inspirations for me. So I think that, like you said, hip hop is young, and we're just gonna have to learn to, you know, just I think also be more, just be more inclusive of everyone, you know, because
Absolutely.
there's so much to give. Like I loved your album, and I would be so sad if you never thought you could put that out because
Right.
it's ridiculous. Like it's so great.
Thank you. Thank you. And that was another component. Like I wanted to tell myself, like show myself and show the world, because I never had that intimidation in terms of the age thing. But I wanted to show people that, yo, you can be, you know, I'm a proud 40. Like, you know, I'm a proud, like I'm not. I've had people, you know, acting and managers, yo, you look young, you should do a stage age. And I'm like, nah, I'm cool. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm all right. You know what I mean?
Black on crack, so you
Come
guys
on. You know what I'm saying? So I'm cool, but I want to show people that it's doable, it's viable, you know.
And I was going to one of your songs too that I really did like was Laundry Room Flows, and that you said that you didn't have to explain to anyone that you wanted to be more than a rapper. And I feel like that was such like a beautiful line. So have you always felt that way about your art?
No, it took me a minute to get to that place because of the social pressures. You know, I think, you know, if I were to tell somebody who isn't open-minded, oh yeah, I rap. I don't think, you know, I get a raised eyebrow, or they're like, oh, okay, all right. Well, so what do you really do? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, you know, those types of things. And so I was wrestling with that. And then I just decided, like, look, I do this and I do this well. Like, you know, and I think you know, being an independent artist and relying on vanity metrics can be such a gaslighter for your worth. You know, like if you don't have, you know, 20,000 views, or, you know, this many followers, excuse me, this many followers, or what have you, or you don't have this many monthly listeners, like, you know, it's easy to think that you as a human being, you as a creative, are not worthy, or you don't have any value. And I particularly with this release, I wanted to dispel that. Like, my worth and my value is not predicated. I'm running a whole different race. I'm running an entirely different race. I know my worth. I know how my fans view me, and, you know, when I'm speaking to them. We, you know, when I say THS, they know what I'm talking about. You know what I mean? Like, you know, right? And so when I put out the album for them to determine their price, to determine their value, for the album, they let me know by purchasing it for $50, $100, multiple times over. You know what I mean? And it's not even about the dollar amount, but what it does speak to is that this music, the message, they value it as part of their life. You know what I mean? It's not about, you know, because I my numbers aren't that really, they're really not that high. You know what I mean? Like, I only have like a little under 6,000 followers on Instagram. My numbers are pretty meek, you know what I'm saying? But I think, like, I don't know if you were to ask somebody, I don't, how do you measure, my success or my value? They would not look to that. They would see what I'm doing in the community. They would see, like, how I impact people, how people connect with my songs. And yeah, so I don't want, so with understanding that, I'm not gonna explain everything that, I rap, period. Right? You know what I mean? Like, and that's that on that. Like, you know what I mean? So yeah.
Yeah, I think people do give you that like that eye. It's just like if you're not in a traditional space,
Right.
especially like that's why I said like go back to the age thing too. At a certain age, you're just like if you're not like in your like 18, 19, 20, like college age, maybe a little bit after college, people give you a little leeway. After
Right.
that, they want you to be like an accountant or like a lawyer,
Right.
doctor. And that's like not everyone's, goal. And it's not everyone's, just not everyone wants to do that, And when you're in that creative field, I just feel like you are judged in a way if you're not. Even if you are kind of successful too, not like there's
Right.
a small percentage of people who are just like, oh, I got a Nike ad, or oh,
Yeah.
I'm working with Beyonce or something crazy like that. But if you're
Right.
not doing anything like that, people are just looking at you like, how are your bills getting paid? I'm like, if you're not
Right.
making them, why are you worried about them? Like, are
Exactly.
you gonna Venmo me my rent? Like, I'm just so confused.
What
Like,
we doing, right?
yeah,
A
like
absolutely.
is this an offer? Are you trying to offer me a job? Like, and that's the. And it's a whole different thing. It's just like even with freelancing and doing things like
Yeah.
that, they're just like, oh, but like, how do you do XYZ? Just, I think people just need to mind their business.
Yeah, and really what it is just a projection of their insecurities. Like I like they would they really want to be where we're at because we're happy. We're happy. We're glowing. Like yo, look, I mean, like honestly, like to the people watching, look at this screen right now. The way me and Autumn are glowing, skin glistening, happy, right? Like people, there's not a lot of people that have this. Saying, and because they've been conditioned to think that, okay, they got to live life a certain way, and we still hold on to our imagination. We still want it to be, want to be, we want to do something that really speaks to the core of who we are, and that is a lot. That is a liberating feeling that not a
It
lot of people you can, it's priceless.
is like. Even like being like, I know we just said it's not about the money amount, but just being able to afford things off of things you thought of in your head that came to fruition is insane to me. And I've only experienced it like, well, I mean, I've been in the creative field since I graduated college, but it just was very, it was just a kind of a dream, And it's
Yeah,
like
yeah.
finally able to accomplish that for myself. And like, I'm not rich by any means, but to be able to afford things of like a vacation, a new bag, I can afford my life off of my creativity.
Of your
I love that for
creativity.
me.
You can't even put a price on that. That's priceless to be able, like that feeling, that accomplishment, like that's the real win. I totally identify with that. And I think there's a lot of people who unfortunately they will never get to understand that feeling,
They're scared. I think
They're
that's it too.
scared.
It's just like a lot of times it's like fear stops you, from doing a lot of things. And they see someone who is, like you said, like, we're carefree, we're glowing, and they're upset that they can't take that plunge for whatever reason that might
Yeah.
be. And that's no shade, but just don't come over here being bitter about me.
Yeah, for
Like, I'm
real.
sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That sounds like a personal issue right
Come
there.
on now. Come on now.
So, speaking of people minding their own business, we're gonna get into our hot topic. So,
Yeah.
our hot topic, is about Jalen Green and Joya. And
Yeah.
they have a huge age gap, I think of
Yeah.
17 years. She has like a
Yep.
child that
Yeah, yep.
is his age.
Same age, yeah.
So, do you think age gaps are important in relationships? Do you think they don't really matter? Or do you think that there's has to be some type of threshold?
Man, that's such a loaded question, right? Because I have so I think it's about where the two people are in their life, right? Like, because I think like 50 and 35, or 50 and 32 is not. I don't think that's.
No.
Right? There's. I don't think there's nothing. I don't think we would bat an eye, right? 39 and 22. I think on. I understand the you know. Oh man, this is different. But like these are, these like he's a professional athlete. Like he's in a space that only she can, like th that them two kind of, they understand, right? Like, you know what I mean? Occupy is, it's not like he's 22 and like not a celebrity, not in, you know, his bank account. It like they both make like they occupy space, occupy a social circle that they both can identify with. You know what I mean? I don't really. And if they're, I mean, they're not breaking the law.
No.
They're not
Both
breaking the
adults.
law. If they are two happily consenting adults that, you know, that like each other and even love each other, who am I to even, why should I even speak on it? You know what I'm saying? And then also too, like, you know, I don't know what it's like for Drea right now, right? Like to have that hyper focus on, you know, I hope she has a healthy pregnancy. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like I think I saw recently that she did comment about how difficult it is the way people have been commenting on, you know, her pregnancy and her relationship. You know what I'm saying? Man, if you know, you like it, I love it. You know what I'm saying? Like I ain't. You know, it ain't me. You know what I'm saying? And the thing is, like Drea is beautiful. Like Drea, like shoot, don't let me get a couple dot. Like, cause that's the thing. Again, like I'm probably, I think I'm Drea's age, right? No, I'm older than Drea, right? But I don't have Jalen Green access, money, and fortitude. So she ain't checking for me. You know what I'm saying? Right? Now let me get up in there and I'm gonna show this chocolate. Cause you know, for me, it's Morris Tay Hope, like you know what I'm saying? That's what we doing, you know what I'm saying? So I mean, nah, but I mean, I wish them the best. I think we just we I really, that's the stuff about, you know, the culture that I really, I'm like, come on, man, like they're not nobody. Where was this with Diddy? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? Like we're putting so much attention and everybody has an opinion, but a lot of people, you know, and not even to whatever you feel like, but the evidence is the evidence. I didn't hear nobody with, you know, speak on this, speak on Diddy and some of the other things that maybe should be taken, you know, a look at. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. Let them be, man.
I get you, because I think that like people, I definitely do not like the fact that people are trying to, send her death threats or whatever. They're bullying her on social media. At the end of the day, it's her life, and I hope, like you said, she has a healthy pregnancy. And it's just insane to me that people would just like, go out of their way to try to make someone uncomfortable. Like, yeah, granted, like I have a brother that is about, Jalen Green's age. He's 24, my brother. So, and I'm not even 30 yet, but I would admit, probably feel uncomfortable if, he was, like you said, but there's a different like situation. Like they're in like, 1% or 2% of, people, whatever, that have that type of like fame and all that type of money and everything like that. But like my little brother, like even though he's not little, who brought home, someone who was like way older than me, I would be checking that lady, because I'm just like, that's my little brother. And I just want to make sure your intentions are pure. He's not feeling like he's being manipulated in any way.
1,000%.
That's what I would just check on, but I
I
do think
agree.
double standard. For sure, for
I
sure.
agree. No, I 100% agree. I think the missing piece is the social status of the two. One thing, if my daughter, like if my daughter definitely, if she met somebody that was 39, I'm checking them out the gate.
Absolutely.
Like, what we doing, bro? What we
Yeah.
doing? You know what I'm saying? And then if, you know, if it is a legitimate, you know, wholesome thing, and that, because she's a at that point she's an adult. I can say, yo, man, I'm not feeling this or whatever, you know what I'm saying? But you know, like, but I definitely think there should be a vetting process. Don't get me wrong. I 100% agree with you. There
I
should be a
know.
vetting process because, again, like in a normal circumstance, how are they even like meeting each other? Is this a parent-teacher conference? Like
That's
what's the,
true.
you know what I'm saying? So, you know.
Yeah, that's true. 'Cause like, where would you meet someone that's 17 years older than you? And like,
Over.
this is like a work or a club, maybe randomly or something like that.
You
Like, you
know
normally wouldn't be in this. At 22, I was nowhere near someone that was 17 years older than me. You know what I'm saying? Like,
exactly.
that's just doesn't usually happen under like regular circumstances. So,
Exactly.
do you think that like, what factors, like even for you personally, like forget like Drea and everything like that. So you personally, do you think there's any factors or like have you had any experiences with like, do you think that there should be some type of maturity level of someone you dated that's younger or even older, you know?
I've dated younger, you know, I've dated younger. I think it's a maturity level as opposed to the age. And I think it's an experiential thing as opposed to the
Yeah.
age that I was looking at, right? Like, I know some people, men and women, who are 28, 29, 30, who've lived a lot of life. You know, well traveled, and whatnot, and so they're able to sort of, you know, there's an exchange. You know what I mean? There's an exchange. Where I'm at in life now, I think for me, in terms of a relationship, in terms of, you know, something serious and dating with intention, I would say I would prefer someone who has the level of experience that or somewhat, meaning they're a parent. So they might be younger than me, but if they're a parent, then they understand, like, you know, what I'm going through, you know what I mean? You know, if I have to cancel or we might have to reschedule because I couldn't find a sitter, like, you know what I'm saying? Things of that nature, right? Like she might be younger, but she's a parent and she understands the how to navigate that. She understands where I'm coming from, might not personalize it and so forth. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's more of a maturity level. Definitely, you know, you gotta be, I mean, graduate college. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? I mean, for me, yeah, I can't be, you know, pulling up to campus, you know what I'm saying?
There's
You know what I'm saying?
a bunch of guys doing that though when I was at JWU.
Listen, man, you know what I'm saying? I get it, man. I get it. You know, but nah, you know, I think there's a the, it's more of the experience thing for me.
I think so too. I've dated younger and I've dated older, but like older by like, I don't know what, like my younger, like the guy was like a year, like 2 years younger
Okay.
than me. And then like older,
How old was
probably
he?
three, like, it wasn't recently, but it was, but I'm 28, about to be 29 at the end of
Yep.
this month.
Come
Yay.
on.
Aries season. But I want to say he was max like 3 years older than me. So like I usually
Okay.
date people like in my like age range.
Yeah,
Like, you know, just because obviously that's like who you see mostly.
Right.
I wouldn't necessarily be opposed to dating someone who's older. But I just feel like they just wouldn't have to, they would have to be like open to like like still have it, like want to have experiences, stuff like that. I feel like the guys that like I'm only looking for my friends' experiences with dating older guys. They kind of want to like, oh, I've done this already. Like
They
I don't
set their
want to go see.
ways.
Yeah, they said in their ways. I was like, come on, old man, like get up. Like, I want to go on a trip. Like I was like, it makes me upset. Like why?
Let me ask you this. Have older men courted you though?
They have.
How is that?
I feel like so honestly, like when I was like fresh 18, this guy had asked me out and he was had already graduated like college. And my parents like didn't know I went on this date. And hopefully they don't listen to they don't really care. Honestly, I told my mom this story like maybe like 2 or 3 weeks ago. And I went on the date. I had told my friend I was like gonna go and like get ice cream with her, whatever. I was gonna go into our town and get ice cream with her. And like, and then my mom was just like, okay, have fun, blah, blah, blah. I went on the date and he was like super nice. Like, I will say this, every single guy I've dated, I literally have never been on a bad date. Like
Oh,
they've
that's
been
good.
super respectful.
That's
And
good.
I don't know if it's just like the energy, not say like women deserve anything less than that, but I don't know if it's the energy I give off. Like they just know that like I will
You ain't to
like,
be played with. You know what I'm
yeah,
saying?
I'm not the one.
I'm not
I'm
the
not the one. I'm not the
one.
two. Like, please, like I'm just not for it. But he was super respectful.
Good,
Super,
good,
super
good.
nice. Super, super nice. Hope
Good,
he's doing
good.
well in life.
Shout out to my man. Shout out
Right?
to him. Oh man,
But
that's
I agree
funny.
with you. It has to be some type of like similar experiences, maturity, like all of that stuff has to like, like life, like what you want in life. Now that like I'm older, I kind of have to date with intention, which is, that's hard.
It
That's
is.
really hard.
It is. It is. And to me, that's why I'm saying, like, that's where the number doesn't even really matter. It's more about what you like your mind and your level of ambition. You know what I mean? Because that's a big thing for me. Like, I'm super ambitious. I'm constantly working. I would like for my partner to be in the same sort of mental capacity. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what do you want out of
Want
life?
it.
And how can we help each other get there? Like, you know what I mean? Like, so,
Speak on that. Like, I think that a lot of times in like my experience too, I find that a lot of guys who've like asked me out or wanted to, like they're just not doing that much for them. Like, and it's a huge turn off. And honestly, and it's just like, yeah, bye. Like, I
Has
just
to
don't
go.
understand. Like, how do you, I don't understand how you would not want to do anything like, for yourself. So I don't know. Yeah, I love what you're doing, and that be that. Over it. So we're gonna go into like our record replay. So I want to know who is like on your Mount Rushmore of music. Like, who do you have? The four people that you say it's like your personal favorites. They don't have to be the greatest of all time, but you're greatest.
I would say, I'm a huge, so Jagged Edge.
Okay, yeah.
I still bump Jagged Edge, man. I like I'm a huge Jagged Edge, but Jagged Edge, Sara Bareilles. Big Sara Bareilles fan. I'm a huge fan. I met her.
Really?
I made a song named after her.
Oh, wow.
Like just her writing is like phenomenal. Nas,
I know you like Nas.
big Nas fan, and music. I would say, wow, the last one it would have to be what do I listen to like just all the time? I would probably say Nip. You know, well, I mean, the thing is with Nip, it's more than music. So I'm just trying to stick to like mute from a musical standpoint. I guess swap out Nip, I would say Mary J. Blige.
Oh,
I
nice.
rock with Mary, man. Like, I just like though, I just like, you know, like that 411 album, that My Life album, you know,
Yes.
just you know, even up to present day, man. I just love like what she doing, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. So though, like, and I find myself listening to a lot of her music, you know what I'm saying? Throughout the years, like that's been a constant, you know what I'm saying? I'll toss in one more, Scarface.
Okay. Yeah. Those are all good choices. And they're all like very different too. You got some R&B, some pop, some rap. Love to see it. Do you have any music that, like, any songs right now that you're obsessed with?
Any songs of mine or just in general?
Just in general, just like,
Oh yeah.
yeah.
Oh my gosh. Made for Me, man. Money Long. Like I really like the I connect to that record. I think it's like such a hit record. Like it's like a perfect record. Like I'm
Yeah.
obsessed with that. Usher got a record called Believe, man.
That's good.
That I love. I've been playing that. What else? I go back to my 90s bag, Corrupt. He got a song called We Could Freak It. That's like classic West Coast, you know what I'm saying? I'm the guy who plays the song a million times in a row while I'm cleaning the house. Like I'm like vibing out, you know what I'm saying? So like those are the three that are on my radar right now that I'm listening to like a lot. That I would say, yeah.
Yeah, I love that. So, what do you like lastly, like how can everyone, support Hope Scholars, support you and your music? Like where can we follow you and everything like that?
Yeah, man. Thank you. So, you know, High Hopes just came out, and if you really want to tap in and support, you can go, but you could buy the album, purchase the album, stream the album directly off my website, johnhopepvd.com. And you can pay whatever you want, you know. You determine the value. If not, you know, you can listen to it on you know, wherever you stream your music. It's on there. And then, you know, to support Hope Scholars Initiative and donate, and it goes to our programming, just visit hsi.hiphop.org. Yeah, man. And yo, I was looking forward to this all week, man.
Me
For real, for real.
too.
Yeah. This was good. This was good.
Yeah,
Like
it
cooked
was.
food. Like cooked food.
Thank you so much. It was so great talking to you, as always.
Yeah, seriously, man.